Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We all try to understand why many youth are at risk today and why the young, now old, incarcerated first-time offenders have or had fallen or are at risk of failure. In addition, it is unthinkable that these individuals, rather than be treated appropriately for mental illnesses or addictions, for anger management, or whatever else the case may be, why they are serving life without parole or life sentences, being in cold prison behind cold prison bars with no appropriate rehabilitative resources, but who are expected to be abused, deprived, provoked, harassed, and expected to remain in this kind of inhumane environment for the rest of their lives. Many of these individuals who committed their first and only offenses while under the age of 25 years and whose cases should be considered individually rather than stereotyped. We're going to talk a little bit about this morning because apparently people that get sentenced by judges in the courthouses and by the juries, apparently they have not had this kind of tragedy happen in their lives. They may be protecting their loved ones, or maybe they were just fortunate enough not to have this happen. But let's talk about it because things like this can happen, like lightning, can strike anywhere, anytime, and anyone. And it is harmful and hurtful to the families of the victims or to the victims themselves who have survived. But it is also very painful and harmful and hurtful to the families of the offenders, especially if the offender may have been seriously depressed at the time, hurting, may have been mentally ill at the time, or may have been under the influence. And addictions, let's talk a little bit about addictions, because there are drugs out there, and there's alcohol, and many people are addicted. And you may say, why? A lot of them say they like to drink or they like to drug. But if we look deep down into what's going on in their lives or what may have gone on in their lives in past years, we can understand that many of these people that are addicted to some sort of drug or alcohol also have hidden pain. Many of them may have been abused as children or adolescents. Many of them probably have something going on in their lives. And many, it's in the genes because of parents or grandparents that may have also been addicted. Serious depression is very, very, very important to understand because people who are seriously depressed, they will not seek help because they don't realize how serious their depression is. They don't realize how serious their situation is. People have to be able to seek and search them out, seeing how they act or respond, because many who are seriously depressed will be somewhat withdrawn, and they may function normally. They may be very bright. They may be in college. They may be working. Some people have to really look at these people that are depressed, because they will usually hang their head down when they're walking. Their arms will be side by side of their bodies. They may laugh and joke, but they're not interested in going out with others a lot. They may go out once in a while, but they're not going to go out a lot. They're going to spend a lot of time at home in their rooms. Many of them will just do nothing but work and go to school. These are some of the signs that people need to look at. Because when someone is seriously depressed, they can go either way. They can end up committing suicide, or they can end up committing homicide. And again, they don't seek help because they don't realize how their situation is. So this is a sign we need to look out for. Those that are addicted or into drugs and alcohol, look at them and see how they react when they're under the influence. Do they cry a lot? Do they get violent? Are they violent drinkers? Are they happy drinkers? Because if you notice, there's a lot of people out there who are alcoholics, and when they drink, or even on drugs, they may start crying. They may become a crying alcoholic. Or they may be a happy alcoholic. In that case, you wonder if they just drink because they like to, or if they drink because there's a hidden agenda in their system. We have to look at these things. Do they get violent? Because a lot of them have anger inside, and no one knows about this anger until they start drinking or get on drugs. And it could be because they also, like those who are depressed, like those who are involved in other substances. Another thing is, when kids are abused, when they are violated as children, many of them will not open up to anyone. They will not disclose what happened to them because they blame themselves. They blame themselves for what happened to them, even though they were children at the time. So they hold it all in. I think that might even happen with people that are carrying this anger in them when they get older and they start drinking, it all comes out. They probably blame themselves because they see the domestic violence going on in the home, or they see they're being abused and they think they should have been able to help themselves, even though they were children. And now we're looking also at the fact that prison reform, when you think about it, they're looking at the fact that in this country, in the United States of America, there is what you call mass incarceration. And mass incarceration is that this country has the highest rates of incarcerated people in the system versus other countries. It's because everyone is being thrown into prison these days, serving life and life without parole for any crime. Three strikes law that they have, being arrested for narcotics or heavy drugs. They even have first-time offenders in prison that have committed crimes. Maybe not nonviolent, maybe violent. And then they have a lot of first-time offenders who went in to prison under the age of 25 at a time when they were either seriously depressed or they were addicted to some substance, or they just were habitual offenders. There is so many reasons why people are in prison. In this country, something is wrong with this country in the judging, in the courts, in the system, in the penal system. Because there's no reason why anybody, especially first-time offenders, should be getting sentences of a life without parole or a life sentence. And the rehabilitation is supposed to take place in the prison system is not happening. Prisoners are being misdiagnosed because we know there are many in the prisons who are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, or as others say, post-traumatic stress disorders. And yet they're being diagnosed with antisocial behaviors to make people think that these people are antisocial. The Department of Corrections across the country, and I'm speaking mainly in Massachusetts right now, they're not rehabilitating, they're preventing rehabilitation. There are prisoners who are trying to take higher educational correspondence courses, many of them willing to pay out of their own pockets, or their families willing to help them out of their own pockets. And yet the Department of Corrections denies this opportunity. There are prisoners who have gotten employment while in the prison system, whether it be in culinary arts or some other. And they have been fired within just weeks after becoming employed with the excuse that they don't have prior clearance when they do. There are prisoners in some prisons who are allowed to train dogs. And there are prisoners in the prisons who love animals. And animals can be the most therapeutic asset to those who are incarcerated. And granted, there may be some people in the communities who are abusing dogs, abusing animals, but that's easy to find out in the prisons, how dogs or cats or whatever animals respond to a prisoner. You will then know if that prisoner is an animal lover or not. And there are dogs all over the world, in this country too, especially right now. There are animals that need to be trained because there are so many people in the communities that are disabled. Many with anxiety, you know, many of them just lonely and wanting a trained animal. There are many reasons why animals, it's good that they are trained. And if there's any possibility of these prisoners benefiting from not only training a dog, but having that interaction and for having that opportunity to have some humane connection, it would help both the animal and the offender. These are some of the things that prisoners are being deprived of. And many of them are detained in solitary confinement. And now that they're talking about eliminating long-term solitary confinement, the prison officials have found another way to keep people in solitary confinement, where no one realizes it. And that is to keep them on restrictive blocks in their cells 23 hours a day, while others are allowed or permitted to leave that block and go to lunch, go to the gym, go to religious services, go to the library. Others are being detained in their cells. But no one knows that this type of solitary confinement is occurring. We have our government leaders, our state representatives across the country, who can, any time, can go into the prisons. They can do it randomly. They can meet with prisoners. They can see for themselves or hear from themselves what's going on in the prisons. These are government leaders that have that authority, and yet they don't do it. Families are writing to these politicians. Many are begging for help. They're writing to all kinds of government leaders for help. Just go in. Just meet with them. Just hear what they have to say. But yet, politicians don't. Unless it's around that time of the year when they need votes from the constituents in the communities, then they will hear you. But will they go into the prisons? No. Because prisons, they feel, will take away from their votes. Anything to do with prisons or law enforcement will take away from their votes. Sad. This is the kind of government leader we want. government leaders that will follow rather than lead? I don't think so. Myself, I am a leader. I'm not a follower. And I realized after tragedies happened in my life, one main tragedy, and I traveled 11 third world countries to find out that this country is not as educated as it should be. It's not as caring as it should be. What I have learned is that no one brought me into this world but my Creator. No one has helped me throughout my years but me, and that was with the help of my Creator. When I came into this world, I came in with nothing, and I have no problem going out with nothing. But so many people in this world today, especially in this country right now, our government leaders and even others in the community are so bent on having all the money they can have, having all the riches they can have. For what? Sure, when they go, they can leave it to their loved ones. When their loved ones go, they can leave it to their loved ones. When their loved ones go, they can leave it to their loved ones. But what's the purpose of it? Because eventually, with all this greed and power, eventually there's going to be a world war. And where is all this, the riches going to go? Where is it all going to go? It doesn't make sense that we in society can think more about money and power than the lives of those not only incarcerated, but the lives of those in the community who are being affected by it. Take away the money. Take away the power. Take away the hatred. Take away the racism. Take away all of these things. And try this, because this is going to work. Try being caring and compassionate towards others. Try being givers rather than takers. Try being understanding of those who are different from you. Try remembering that we were all created by one Creator. And for those of you that don't believe in a Creator, you believe in evolution. Well, I can't say anything about that. I don't know how evolution would bring about human beings. But try these things. Try talking to strangers. I mean, if you're on a bus, if you're in public places, you're not going to be harmed by talking to someone. Just, you know, talking to them about the weather. Talking to them about life itself. Because when someone is blessed to be able to talk to them about having all of your limbs. For those of us that do, we thank God to be able to hear, to be able to see, to be able to smell, to be able to taste, to be able to touch. These are the senses that we have to look at. Many people don't even have this. Wars. Let's talk about the wars, because when we have military going into other countries to kill the enemy, just who are we killing? When we go into these other countries, many innocent people are being killed. And for those of you who claim to be Christians, think about this. You're going into a military as a Christian to go over to other countries and fight other possible Christians. Christians killing one another, or Christians killing anybody. Is that what it says in the Bible? There are so many people that are joining the military at a very young age. Youth, you might say, under the age of 25. They go over to these countries and they fight a war that's really not ours, because they're not attacking us. They say that the New York Trade Center in New York was, that was an attack on us. But at the same time, that was years ago, and it's something that happened, and the person they claimed or alleged had it happen is gone. But all these other wars that are being provoked by us, or that we are interfering with, doesn't need to happen. Young people do not have to get into somebody's business that was not their business, but are being sent over because of the leader's business. And the leaders apparently are followers, because if they were leaders, they would not be leading innocent young people into war. Back to the prisons. We have people in prison, whether they be our loved ones or strangers or whatever. We need to look at them. They don't need to be serving life sentences for a first offense. They don't need to be abused, deprived, provoked, harassed, kept in solitary confinement, denied every God-given right. And we on the outside as human beings, if we have a heart at all, we should be trying to make a difference. We should be trying to help these people. And the media is so quick to report things that have happened in the prisons with the guards. But they don't try to go in and find out exactly from the prisoners. The media tends to take one side of a story, and that's the side they feel is going to benefit them. Because there are people in the media, I'm sure, that have been under the influence driving. I'm sure that there have been people in the media who have either themselves or had loved ones get stopped for speeding or some other offense and get away with it. Why? Because they are sticking up for the wrong side, only to get their own benefits. I myself grew up with two parents in the home, many siblings. I had the benefits of having a family, a set of parents that taught us morals. They taught us, and they were biracial, a biracial family. And each and every one of my siblings, of nine of us, all married, some into English, some into Spanish, some into Chinese, some into Irish, some into African-American and Indian, some into Italian, some into Portuguese, some into Cape Verdean. We have family members. Everyone used to call us the United Nations. And my parents taught us, you don't make fun of anybody that's different from you. Never make fun of anyone that's deformed. Never make any fun of anyone that is racially different. Always be compassionate, always understanding, always helpful, always giving, not taking. My family was very well respected in the community. And I remember on the holidays as a kid growing up myself, my mother used to give us fruit to bring to the teacher, a gift for the mailman and the bus driver. This is the way we should be today. Prisons should not be full. We should not have over 2.5, almost 3 million prisoners, people incarcerated, serving life and life without sentences, when in other countries, the maximum sentences are 25 years. There are no millions in the prisons in any country as it is in the United States. There's such a thing as rehabilitation, reform, and vengeance, retaliation, hate, racism. Think about all the evil that's in this country that doesn't have to be in this country. But we are all falling into this evil because we have so many people in this country that are followers. They will follow the multitude to do evil against someone. And if you have a Bible, open that Bible. Open that Bible to Exodus 23, verses 1 to 3. Because, again, there's no reason for anybody to hate someone they don't know. And in the book of John, 1 John in the Bible, chapter 4, verse 20, it says, anyone who claims to love God, whom they cannot see, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. Because people are going to church or to the mosque or to the synagogue or to the kingdom halls and saying they love the God that they are serving, the God that they are worshiping, they have not even seen. How can you say you love God when here all these people throughout the world are suffering, are dying unnecessarily, are being judged without being known? Regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of race, these are human beings that so many of you in the world, in the communities, have so much evil to say about them when you have not made any effort whatsoever to even get to know them, whether through a letter writing, whether through phone calls, whether it's through even in the churches. When you go to church, are you mingling and socializing and fellowshipping with every one of them? Or are you picking and choosing the cliques that you belong to or that you want to belong to? Go into the communities. Go into the homeless shelters. It doesn't hurt to go to the homeless shelters. Bring food to the homeless shelters. Tell the people who are running the homeless shelters you want to help in some way. Get to know some of these people, because some of these people in homeless shelters may have been in prison, came out with no place to go, or they may have gone to prison because they had no place to go. And there were many situations that put people in the situations they're in. There were many homeless, even lawyers. I remember as a social worker taking one of my clients to an AA meeting. And there was a lawyer, he had been sober 12 years, and he was speaking at this AA meeting, talking about how he was so desperate for his alcohol that he lost his family. He lost his best friend, who told him he was drinking too much. He needed help. We don't know who's in these homeless shelters, but we know that not all of them have started out as just homeless. There were many people who, because of stresses, because of tragedies in their lives, who became homeless. And there were many in the prisons who were very intelligent, who would give you the shirt off their back, or would have, and made one mistake, and that very person that would have been there for you or for your family member who fell that one time, for whatever reason it may have been, that one person is being hated by everybody in the world because they committed a crime involving maybe one shot or maybe more tragic. We don't know. And for those of you that have lost family members or loved ones in a more tragic way, I feel for you and I understand what you're going through. Have you gone to God? Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you asked God to help you to be able to forgive? Have you asked God to help you to be able to get over it, to be able to know that someday you will be reunited with that family member that you have lost? Because I believe strongly that this system of things is coming to its end. This world is coming to its end. We can see it all around us with the weather, with the wars, with the increased hatred. And in the book of 2 Timothy in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, these are the critical times hard to deal with. And you read on to see what's going on. So pray to God. Try to understand. Try to forgive try to work with our youth and our young people and think about those people that went to prison when they were very, very young and now they are old. Those who went to prison are under the age of 25 and are now in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s. Think about it. Think about forgiveness. I ask you all to start having a heart and start seeing some positive changes happening. Be there for the young people today and help the older ones who went in when they were young to have an opportunity at freedom once again. I thank you for hearing me out. I thank you for being with us, and I look forward to our next talk. Thank you very much. Have a nice day, everyone. Have a blessed day. Leona checking out.